The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Cherryway, Northwest London, Thursday, the 1st of October, 2020, Yud Gimel Tishri, Tovshim Pei Aleph, Rabbi Rashi Simon Shlita, on a Sukkot theme.
Yeah, our actual topic is called The Mighty Zambezi and the Wonder of Water. It's a Sukkot theme, as we shall see. Thank you for the invitation to come here to the Torah Way. It's been some time since I've last had the opportunity, and especially to be here in person, not only on Zoom, perhaps... We have some listeners remotely as well, but it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. So last night I was preparing this shiur as the rain was coming down, and I recalled how many years ago when I was in Kollel and I was anticipating moving to England to take up a position in London, I had a friend from Manchester, and it was pouring with rain in Yerushalayim. It was Cheshvan or Kislev. And he said, you know what we call this in England? I said, what? He said, we call this Sukkot weather. And my heart sank. And but there you have it. It is that time of year. And I'd like to talk about water, the wonder of water. Even though, of course, we only, so to speak, pray for rain on Shmini Atzeres after Sukkot is finished. But nevertheless, and obviously again, when it does rain during Sukkot itself, it's not so welcome, but the theme of Sukkot is closely connected to rain and to water. The Arba Minim, it says, V'lekachtem lechem. So all of those Arba Minim, I can just find it here, the Pasuk. V'lekachtem lechem. Priyesh Hadar, Kapros Temarim, Arve Nachal, all of these Arba Minim are associated with water. Priyesh Hadar, so even in modern Hebrew, Priyesh Hadar is a citrus fruit, and citrus fruits require a lot of water. The Gemara Darshan is also from the word hydro. The word Hadar comes from the, doesn't come from, but it alludes to the Greek word for water. It requires a lot of irrigation. By the way, that's why they never exported oranges from the land of Israel until the Chalutzim arrived in the late 1800s, because the Arabs who lived there for centuries, they did not irrigate, and without irrigation you cannot grow citrus fruits in the land of Israel because there's not nearly enough rain. You had to irrigate, which they didn't bother to do, and it became a popular export product because oranges were popular in Europe, and that's where Jaffa oranges come from, because they were stamped with Jaffa, the port of Jaffa. The reason I'm meandering on to talk about Israeli exports is that the citrus fruit, more than other fruits, is a symbol of water, requires abundant water. The Arvei Nachal, obviously, it means something that grows by the brook. And even the lulav, which is a symbol of a date palm, which often grows in the desert, but it only grows at an oasis in the desert. The date palms always indicate that there's water. That's why it's a symbol of water. If a person traveling in the desert and he sees a palm tree in the distance, he knows that there's going to be water there, because the palm tree is a symbol of water. These are all associated closely with abundant water, because Sukkot is when the rainy season begins, or hopefully after Sukkot. I'm talking about in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's closely associated with water and with rain. And I have to talk a little bit about the symbolism of water in our tradition. So firstly, we have the notion of Mayim Chayim, the notion that water sustains life. Without water, there can be no life. And in the absence of water, at a time of drought, so naturally the prayers are very heartfelt. Much of Masechta Tanis is all about fasts that are initiated because of a drought, because of the absence of rain or insufficient rain, and the threat of death in the absence of sufficient rain. It's interesting, one of the moons of Jupiter is called Europa. It was discovered by Galileo in the early 1600s, and he could not have known in 1610 when he discovered it, but subsequently there's a lot of evidence, very exciting evidence, maybe there's water on this moon which orbits around Jupiter. Why is there such excitement? Who is concerned about if there is water on the moon over there? The answer is, if there's water, there could be life. And that's always fascinated mankind, the possibility of extraterrestrial life. The point is that water and life are synonymous with one another. And this is why water is a symbol for Torah. And because Torah gives life, and without Torah, there can be no life. And I'm reminded of the very famous Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, who was teaching Torah in the days of the Hadrianic persecutions, when teaching Torah was forbidden, and he was denounced or he was criticized for doing so. How can you teach Torah? You're going to imperil yourself and your students and the whole Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva, remember, gave the famous mashal. He said, you know, there was once a fox that was walking along the edge of a pond or a lake or a river, and he saw fish that were swimming around hurriedly, sort of in a great panic. And the fox said to the fish, why are you swimming around in that way? You know, why don't you relax, you know, enjoy the swim? And they said, no, we're fleeing the nets of the fishermen who are trying to trap us. So the fox said to the fish, well, I don't know why you're doing that. If you have such a difficult time, you're worried about the fishermen, come on dry land with me, and the fishermen will never think to look for you there, and we'll live together very happily. Probably the fox was hoping for a very easy meal. And the fish said, are you the most cunning of creatures? You're a fool. Because if we are struggling, if we are worried about our survival in our natural habitat of the water, how much more so will we surely perish if we leave and go on dry land? That's what Rabbi Akiva said, that the Torah, kihem chayeinu v'arech yameinu. If when we study Torah, we are still at risk, we are still persecuted by the Romans, and we struggle to survive with the Torah, if we abandon the Torah, surely we are doomed. But water is also a symbol for humility. And this I heard once from Moshe Shapiro, that water gets everywhere. That is to say, if there is water around, in order to keep it out, you've got to hermetically seal something against it. And anyone in the property business is aware that the fixing roofs are expensive. I know someone who bought a beautiful property, said he had to spend like 50,000 or 100,000 pounds just on the roof. And he said, nobody's going to come to this house and say, wow, this is an amazing roof. What a gorgeous roof you've got here. Nobody will think that. And I've spent all this money, you know, for nothing. You know, it doesn't impress anybody. But without it, then you can't live. Because water goes everywhere. Rav Moshe Shapiro said, water flows to the lowest point as well. So this is a symbol, therefore, for humility. And similarly, the Torah is only, so to speak, the Torah brings its blessing to the person who is humble, the person who humbles himself, so the Torah, so to speak, will flow to him. And this is also reminiscent of what Rabbi Akiva, if you remember early in the career of Rabbi Akiva, when he was only an ignorant shepherd, so he was once watering the flock, and he saw water that was dripping onto a rock. It must have been a modest type of waterfall. And there was a boulder at the bottom of this creek where the water was flowing onto. And he saw that over time, the water had created a declivity in the rock itself. And Rabbi Akiva said that famous Kal Vachomer, if water, which is so insubstantial, can make an impression and penetrate a rock over time, then surely the words of Torah, which are so potent, can make an impression in my heart. So the capacity of water to flow from above to below and to make an impression in a rock is that which inspired Rabbi Akiva. And from here, we turn to the mighty Zambezi. Now, the Zambezi River is in southern Africa. It's one of the largest rivers in Africa, one of the most dramatic rivers. that you'll come across. We had the opportunity to visit the Zambezi River, and if you've heard of it at all, then it may be because of the famous Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls, it's in the border between Zambia and Zimbabwe, is the largest waterfall measured by volume of water in the world. The water crashes down about 100 meters, very dramatic. The natives call it the smoke that thunders, because you can hear it from miles away, and you can see it as well. You can see the mist. And as you approach it, it's really one of the great wonders of the world. Someone called David Livingstone discovered it. He was an explorer, also a Christian missionary, and he discovered the Victoria Falls. And when you visit Victoria Falls, if you ever have been there, it makes such an impression. It's really, Niagara Falls is a similar kind of sense of the awe, the power, and the vivifying capacity, the vitality that water provides. Water is such a potent metaphor, and the wonder of water, as we'll soon see, is something which inspires people from earliest antiquity. You know, this Zambezi River is something to behold. It's the lifeblood of southern Africa. There are other great rivers as well. Beryl Wine tells a story how he was once traveling with a friend from Israel. It was back probably in the 1980s. And he was
Kol HaLashon
going across the George Washington Bridge, which goes across the Hudson River. And anyway, this visitor from Israel looked down at the Hudson River, and he said, wow. He said, if we had a river like that in Israel, you know, all of our water insecurity would be solved. And, you know, the Hudson River is not even one of the great rivers of the world. It is large enough, though, to land an Airbus A320, if you remember some years ago, the miracle on the Hudson, which was quite remarkable. But evidently, the Ratzon HaBore is that there is no Hudson River in the land of Israel. And the Torah even hints to why that is. The Torah places it, though, in the positive. Let me explain. The Nile River is the source of the wealth of ancient Egypt. And Egypt is mostly desert, but within a certain number, maybe 20, 30 kilometers, either side of the Nile River, there's like a band of green that you can see. The Nile Delta is among the richest farmland anywhere in Africa because of the richness of the minerals that are brought down the Nile River brings with it. The point is that the Nile River floods every spring, and the Nile River provides the prosperity for Egypt. Says the Torah, the land that you're going to, that I'm bringing you to, is not like Mitzrayim. Now, the Torah is putting it in the positive, meaning that in Egypt, so you've got the Nile River, but if you want to bring the water to your field from the Nile River, you've got to dig an irrigation ditch, which is a lot of work, or you can transport it in a bucket. But it doesn't rain in Egypt sufficiently, but you've got the Nile River. So the Nile River is reliable. The Nile River is accessible. But it can take a lot of work. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to trouble yourself with irrigation. You just pray for rain. The rain comes down, and you're not compelled to exert yourself to dig an irrigation ditch from the Nile, 10 kilometers to where your field may be. That's in the positive that, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower you with blessing symbolized by the rain. But there's a downside to that, which is obvious, and that is that if it doesn't rain, then your livelihood and your very survival is at risk. It says the pasuk, "Su'u marom einechem ureu mi bara eile." It's the pasuk at the end of it's in Yeshaya Perek Mem. It's the end of Shabbos Nachamu, of the after of Shabbos Nachamu. "Su'u marom einechem ureu mi bara eile." Cast your eyes to the heaven and see who created this. Who created these? Mi bara eile. So although the pasuk is talking about the stars, and by the way, this is possibly a remez of why the schach is supposed to be of such a the thickness of the schach is supposed to enable one to still see the stars. Even though we don't pask in that way, it's not in the Ikuva, some davka put a lot of schach, so it's hard to see the stars, but the general minhag is that you should be able to see the stars through the schach. And the stars symbolize that which is beyond, that which is above. And that's the meaning of Summa Roma Nechem. I would like to suggest that certainly in antiquity, a person did not cast his eyes to the heavens looking for stars. He was looking for clouds. I mean, in England, we don't necessarily delight in seeing the clouds. We're happier when it's clear sky. But in an environment where the rain is essential for the success and for the survival of the community and of the crops, so they look for clouds. And I would like to suggest that when it says Ru min bara eile, it doesn't just mean to look for the clouds of the rain clouds, because there is something more inspiring about water than just the sort of impression that a great waterfall will make on an explorer or a tourist. The word for water in Hebrew is mayim, and it's not a coincidence that mayim sounds a lot like ma. Ma, what does what and water have to do with one another? And it's the same true in English. The same is true in English. What and water. Ma and mayim. The same in Latin as well. Qua and aqua. Also in German, vos and wasser, or Yiddish if you like. It's interesting how in all of these languages, what and water are closely connected, because water, that is to say rain, derives from heaven and inspires the wonder and reminds us, a man, of his reliance on forces above him, beyond him. And therefore, although water, I would say, is essential for life, water sustains life, water enables life, but water is not the source of life. The source of life is beyond. And this is Su'umarom Einechem, cast your eyes to heaven and look beyond the clouds. Recognize that there is a force which brings the rain, and there is a force which enables the water to sustain life itself. And I think this is why there are no great rivers in the land of Israel, in order to ensure that those who live in that land, when Klal Yisrael went from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, part of the progress was to recognize that we cannot rely on the Nile River, which is either deified itself, as the Egyptians did deify the Nile, or perhaps it leads to denial, the denial of any higher force, because when a person has the confidence of the water available all the time, so he does not need to look beyond. But living in the land of Israel, it necessitates looking beyond and recognizing the source of the water and the source of life itself. Just like to end with a little story, which it's a kind of modern day adaptation of a famous mashal of the Dumna Magid, but I'll just tell you in the slightly more modern form. Let's say it was in the 1960s, perhaps, a sheikh from the newly oil-rich, oil fields of the Middle East, comes to visit New York, and he stays in one of the Manhattan hotels with his entourage, his many wives, and his hangers-on, and he's floating in petrol millions, and he goes shopping, and he goes to see the boutiques and all the things in Upper Manhattan, and the one time he walks past a hardware store, and he goes inside and he orders, places a large order anyway, deliver it to his hotel. They're in a few big boxes, and He stays there however long, and now he's going back to Arabia. And he gets a few of the porters from the hotel to take his luggage down, and some of these boxes that had been delivered from the hardware store are so heavy, it takes two people to carry each of them. Anyone said, what have you got here? He says, something that I want to bring back home. Okay. Anyway, he goes to the customs or whatever it might be, and he's flying first class, got plenty of weight allocation. In those days, if you remember those days, there wasn't a problem with weight. You know, you could take, I think it was about 30 kilo. He had three suitcases each. So anyway, maybe he had to pay a bit of overweight. And they said, look, Mr. Sheikh, it's very nice that you're shopping so lavishly here in New York. We appreciate the business, but we need to know, what are you taking with you? Anyway, they open it up, and they see he's got dozens and dozens of taps, like water taps. He said, you know, this is not something which is regulated. You want to take taps, you know, vakasha, you know, we're not, it's not a high security kind of a product. It's not like a smuggling. But why are you bringing back dozens and dozens of heavy metal taps to Saudi Arabia? So he says, I'll tell you why. He said, I went to this hotel. I found it. Turn on the tap, hot water, cold water. I see everybody has it, not just the five-star hotels. Even the cheap hotels, everybody's got it. And I thought to myself, you know, in Saudi Arabia, we've got lots of oil. But you know what we don't have is water. And here in New York, you turn the tap and you get water. It comes out, hot water, cold water. I thought, that is what I need. I'm going to bring that back to Saudi Arabia. And then, you know, I'll give it to all of my followers. Every person in his own tent will have his own tap to turn it on and they'll have water. That'd be an amazing thing. So, of course, they said to him, my friend, you know, you don't realize the tap is just a conduit. It's connected to a pipe. The pipe is connected to a whole system. And there's a lake or there's a reservoir, there's a pump. The tap does nothing. In a similar way, the water that brings life, the water only functions because of the Ratzon HaBore that gives it that capacity. So when we perform the mitzvah Arba Minim, when we say the Tefillas Geshem, and when we hopefully don't experience rain during Sukkot itself, but recognize the importance of rain, we have to realize that the what which lies beyond the water is in Tsumarome Nechem, Mi Bara Eila, the one who has created the water itself, the one who provides life, and the one who ensures Mitzvah Hashem will be written in the book of life and inscribed, good and critical for everyone. And we hope that will be your blessing, Bracha Vatzacha, for all of us, all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.